Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So get your scores from a guy like me who knows what it's like to have a groin injury.
Sports to the Max is on the air. Ron Shearer in for Live Outdoors shortly. And plenty of Gopher football talk as we look at PJ Fleck's contract extension, which was pretty much expected. The question was, would he take it? Would somebody come get him? All those things. 7-year deal, about $4.6 million a year. Those are some of the numbers, and they could be eye-popping to some, but I'm going to break this down in reality terms so that you understand what this means and conceptually how it works inside a university. Joining me, former head of the Regents, the guy's been there every step of the way, it seems like. Dean Johnson, how are you?
Mike, I'm very good. Thank you.
Tell me, when you, first of all, anytime you sign any major coach to a contract, when you're a regent, you get lots of feedback, and the numbers are always big numbers and relative to the rest of the world, et cetera, et cetera. However, there are other numbers that live inside the university, and you have to bank that against what's coming in and what it means to the university. Explain from a regent standpoint what you ask of the athletic department when they start to talk contracts with a big coach.
Well, of course, you hire the athletic director via the president, and the regents approve the athletic director as one of the senior leaders, in our case, Mark Coyle. And what you want them to do, of course, is to hire the best coaches, most talented coaches, who you would want your sons and daughters to play for in a very competitive environment. Having said that, the regents' policy at the University of Minnesota, which we did change a couple years ago, and that is any contract that is over $1 million must be approved by the Board of Regents. We believe it brings about a transparency and also an accountability. And prior to that, the president, along with the athletic director, simply could make those contracts valid. So what we have now is potentially in December, the University of Minnesota Board of Regents will take up this proposal that President Gable, I'm sure, along with Athletic Director Mark Coyle and other people, negotiated with PJ Fleck on this new contract, which is still not, interestingly enough, as I look at the statistics, not halfway in the salaries of the Big Ten coaches. It's close. I think halfway would be about $5 million, and this is about an average of $4.6 million. And so they will discuss it in public. And I know that the regents and athletic director wanted to get this settled because there are some other openings, USC, Florida State, other places, but I would also say that the University of Minnesota athletic facilities right now are some of the best in the country. No doubt about it, PJ Fleck is on a roll in recruiting and winning. At the same time, the next four games with Penn State, Iowa, Northwestern, Wisconsin are going to be a real test, but it certainly has made a significant difference in the win-loss column. Football in itself, the athletic budget is very important. The athletic budget is about $125 million, and I believe that the football budget comes close to a third of that. Then you add in the Big Ten TV contract, and we're talking a huge amount of money. Finally, for the critics to say, what are you doing? You know, paying this kind of money for a coach. Well, you have to decide. You're either in the game, literally, or you're out. And that's what the market is bearing today. The lowest paid coach, I believe, is at Indiana, Tom Allen, at about $1.8 million.
I think that's about to go up.
Yes, and because of his wins, I think they're 6-2. And the highest paid coach is at Michigan, Harbaugh, at $7.5 million. It's what the market is driving. And I always add this, Mike. State funds and tuition cannot be used to support athletics for the most part. And I say that's
a good point, because a lot of people, when you say University of Minnesota, assume that that means state funds goes to fund this. It's not the way it works.
No, it's not. It has to be raised from TV, radio revenue, advertising, ticket sales, people who contribute to the program. Because I think it's unfair, you know, for a student to pay tuition if they have no interest in athletics or football that they would financially support this. And, of course, the state tuition or the state appropriation, which accounts for about, I'm going to say, 17-18% of the university's budget, does not support it. Now, in full transparency, sometimes those monies are borrowed. Those funds are borrowed into the athletics, but they're repaid back. So I think it's good for Minnesota. It stabilizes the football program. I also like the fact that the assistant coaches are going to be given a raise, and I believe they have two-year contracts. They have families. They have homes. They have mortgages, and it brings about a stability to go for football and go for athletics. By the way, have you noticed how many people are now talking about Gopher football?
Yeah, many more. But there's another side to this, Dean, too, and that is, as much as you try to, and this is one of the fallacies or issues that people have across the board with coaches in college football, is they really can go when they want to go, as long as somebody's willing to pay the buyout. And I don't know how that ever gets fixed.
You know, that's right. The best buyout, I think, in college football today resides south of us, Coach Ferentz at Iowa. And I think I'm right about this number. He could walk tomorrow for no reason and gain $21 million. Now, yep. I think that's obscene.
That's obscene, yeah.
Nowhere where the Gopher contract is in. I think if PJ were to leave, it's like $3.8 or $4 million. But the next school is going to pay that.
Right, and it's $10 million the first year, $4.5 million the second year, and that's really not $10 million is a big enough number to make you think. $4.5 million, if you really believe in him and you're sitting down in the South, that's not a big number. So a lot of this stuff, you do what you can do, I guess is what I'm saying, when you're Mark Coyle, when you're the president, when you're Dean Johnson, you do what you can, and you bet on the come that it's going to work out. And at the end of the day, you have some control over that, but not really if he really wants to leave and somebody really wants him.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I mean, somebody come along tomorrow, even after this new contract, although it needs to be approved by the regents, and make an offer to PJ, and he'd have to consider it. Although I really think in his heart of hearts, he and his family love Minnesota, and he loves what he's doing and built up the program. But most importantly, I think the student athletes really like him. And when you like somebody, you're willing to really, really play hard. And I think that shows.
Yeah, it's interesting. And if you can keep him, and in essence, everybody's different. And I don't know if PJ aspires to be in a 100,000 seat stadium coaching one day, or if you get to a point where you say this can be really special because I stay here. That's what Wisconsin coaches have done. That's what Iowa coaches have done. You know, Kirk Ferentz, notably. I don't know what would make him tick that way. And the only way we'd ever find out really is if he keeps winning and then somebody comes after him.
I mean, the possibility exists, Maxie. The Minnesota Gophers could be 12-0. Think
yes.
about that.
Yes,
they could be 10-2. They could be 9-3.
Right, and you may settle into that and say, "Hey, this is pretty good.
This is pretty good, you know." And there's going to be a good bowl game. There's going to be good competition in warmer weather for Gopher football, and that kind of thing breeds success in the recruiting world today. And
yes.
Parents and grandparents and student athletes take a look at it and say, "You know what? I better get up there to Minnesota and take a look at what's going on up there, because something has changed for the better."
Yeah, all of a sudden, 36 degrees doesn't look like it's cold anymore, does it? It looks like a home field advantage instead.
That is correct. And these things ebb and flow, you know. I listen to my Husker wife, who's lamenting what's going on down in Nebraska.
And by the way, that looked like a slam dunk coming into this season. All of a sudden, Martinez gets hurt, and Frost isn't the coach you thought he was, right?
That is correct, you know. And having said that, Debbie, my wife, knows Scott Frost. Personally, from her former days, a fine young man, you know, a great coach. I think he'll get it turned around, you know, in a year or two. And we all know they, quote, want to have their own players, but they're
sure.
struggling.
Well, I mean, Northwestern last year won the Big Ten West by three games, and this year they can't win a game. It's the ebb and flow of college football. And in the Big Ten, you know, short of Ohio State and maybe Penn State, I don't even know if Michigan's in that category. There is an ebb and flow to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's time that Minnesota Gophers ebb and flow a little higher.
Yes.
You know, it's our turn. I mean, yes. I'm so old, I remember 61, 62, the Rose Bowl, Big Ten.
I've heard about that. I've seen some grainy film of it.
Right, right. Yeah. But it's our time. It's our time, no doubt about it.
Dean, thanks for the perspective. Appreciate it very much.
Very good. Thanks, Mike.
You bet. Dean Johnson, nice enough to join us. You know, the one thing I'm going to tell you about, when you amp this stuff up, and oh, biggest game, winner, biggest game. They've played some big games in this town, and the Gophers are not, they've been below average in the Big Ten for sure, but the Gophers have played some significant games. And if you go back and you look at even Tim Brewster, the first year was a disaster. The second 2 years, they went to bowl games, and he had the 7-1 start the 1 year. Glenn Mason played in a number of significant games. His problem, if you want to call it that, was all of his biggest wins were on the road. They were somewhere else. They won at Penn State, you know, when they 20 years ago. They won at Ohio State, huge win when Ohio State was unbeaten. They won at Michigan that day. I was there the day that the clock went down at the end of the game. Big wins. Always on the road. He had won against Wisconsin, but Wisconsin wasn't a juggernaut at that time. Jerry Kill had, you know, they beat Nebraska at home. They beat Michigan on the road when he was here. They played in the biggest game really in the last 10 years was at Wisconsin, whatever it was, five years ago, when if they won the Big Ten West. That was the biggest game we've seen. Now, it was at Wisconsin. I was there, and David Cobb was injured, tried to play through it. They were competitive, and they didn't get it done, and then Wisconsin went in as a sacrificial lamb in the championship game, and Ohio State ran all over them. But there have been, and they've beaten Penn State over the years a few times when, you know, Penn State, they're better than Penn State, just flat out. So I think Gopher football has gotten a little bit of a bad rap because we think that Gopher football has been awful for all these years. That's the image. Or we think about missed opportunities, and yeah, they've had some missed opportunities. But they've actually won a lot more games than you think, and they've won a lot more significant games. They have a really good chance to win this Saturday as well. Penn State's a good team, probably better than the Gophers at home for sure, but on the road, no. They're not that good. They're not that overwhelming as a team. And it was a little bit interesting that Fleck made sure he got the deal done before Penn State because I thought that was going to be the next question. Do you roll the dice and try to make a run and try to get that 4.6 up to 5.1, something like that? Probably not. And, you know, PJ's not dumb. He knows that as long as he's a good coach, you never have to worry about money. He was set for life before this contract extension. More on this on the other side, including a really interesting statistic about Gopher Head football coaches. We'll bring you that on the other side. Wixon Jewelers time is 6:48. With a comprehensive team of experts all under one roof, Wixon Jewelers features the most advanced repair facility in the Midwest.
To the max.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Two things I want you to think about today. By the way, Ricky Foggy's going to join us at 8 o'clock to talk about Gopher football, and he's an assistant coach at Nearly High School. Got a big game coming up at St. Thomas Academy. We'll visit with him about that. Two things, and then Ron Shearer's going to be at 7 o'clock to explain. There's not been a productive, let's just say, fall for him in terms of fishing and hunting. And, you know, like Ron always says, well, if you measure it just in how many fish you catch or ducks and pheasants you shoot, then it hasn't been that good. Well, how else do you measure it, Ron? Well, it's being outside, being with one with nature. It's, you know, the weather gets nice and you dance around in your underwear out in your deer stand. You know, I'm sorry, I don't get into that stuff. It's just too far out there for me. But Ron will break that down for us coming up at 7 o'clock with Live Outdoors. Two things I want you to think about when I give you your homework tonight. Number one is, what's a better deal? To pay a football coach $4.6 million, but the total revenue that he brings into the university is around, what, $40 million a year? Or is it more ridiculous to pay an Olympic sport coach $200,000 a year if their program loses money? Which one's a better business decision? Think about that. After they pay Fleck and do his scholarships and his assistant coaches, there's still going to be a whole bunch of money that you put against the football budget, and he's going to be way ahead. Lots of other sports, they don't make money. They lose money. They travel, they do this and that, but they lose money. So which one is more palpable? Which one is better? Now, here's the other thing. Gopher football coaches, okay? I don't remember him, but Bernie Bierman, good coach, I guess. Won lots of games. 1941, he was coached last time they were 8-0. He was succeeded by Murray Warmath. Murray Warmath took him to the Rose Bowl, had a nice run in the 60s and into the 70s at the University of Minnesota. Cal Stahl came along. Cal did some things, got him to a bowl game with Wendell Avery as the quarterback, and Rick Upchurch he had as a running back. If Larry Powell would have stayed healthy, who knows? He was replaced by Joe Salem. Joe came from Northern Arizona, alum, did some good things, initially ran the run and shoot that one day against Ohio State. All these things, people that are big Gopher followers know exactly what I'm talking about, but didn't last long. Then they landed Lou Holtz, and Lou had the magic touch. Took him from doormat to respectable in 2 years. He was replaced by John Gutekunst. Gutekunst got him to a bowl game or two, couldn't really sustain anything significant. They let him go. Jim Wacker came in. Jim came from TCU. A lot of rah-rah, a lot of this. Great man, one of the greatest men I've ever met in sports. Eventually, they had to part ways with him. Glenn Mason came in. Glenn got him to respectable. They went to some bowl games, did some different things, won 9 games 1 year, were 11th in the country, I believe, at one time. Made the decision after a bowl game to let him go and bring in Tim Brewster. Brewster was there for a bit. We all know how that ended. 4th season didn't go well. Jerry Kill comes in, gets it going, spikes it in the right direction. Then his health doesn't allow him to continue to coach. Tracy Clays takes it for a year. They win 9 games. Most remarkable bowl game win in the history of the University of Minnesota against Washington State. In comes P.J. Fleck. Now, the reason that I took you through that timeline was simple. Every one of those coaches, except one, every one of those coaches except one never had a head coaching job again. After they came to the University of Minnesota, they never were a head coach again. The only one that was a head coach after he coached at the University of Minnesota was Lou Holtz. And he left for Notre Dame, of course. Dark Star, I remember one time at a press conference, said Glenn Mason was up for some job, and he was saying he's not going anywhere. And Dark Star said, well, that's what Lou Holtz told us. Then one day we woke up, turned on the TV, and he's sitting next to some priest in South Bend explaining the virtues of Notre Dame. But he's the only coach that continued on as a head coach. So the Minnesota program is hardly one that you covet or look at as a place where you come to build your resume, build your career, and go on to something bigger and better. It's hardly that. If you do that study of coaches, it doesn't matter how hard they tried this and that. None of them were ever a head coach again. Brewster's an assistant coach. Tracy Clays was an assistant coach. Of course, Jerry had the health problems. Joe Salem ended up selling liquor as a manager out there. Cal Stahl retired. All of them would have loved to have been a head coach again. John Gutekunst was never a head coach, an assistant coach. My point being, the perception nationally in Minnesota is it's high risk, and the reward ain't great. And even if you do well here, there are not many that will. You're not going to probably get out of that abyss that gets you a head coaching job. So that's all I'm saying. Ron Sherrill will straighten it all out when we come back, including what has been a tough fall, I guess, for him, if you measure it in how many fish you catch and how many birds you shoot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.